Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's great to be with you all this morning. Happy Mother's Day to you all, to all the ladies. Thank you for loving our children, our covenant children, and just being godly examples to them and to all of us. We thank you and appreciate you all. As was mentioned, there's some flowers and some little gifts in the back just to remind you that we're grateful and thankful for you all. So if you would, take some of those flowers for yourself and maybe somebody you know, maybe a friend or a neighbor that may be lonely today or in this week, and you can just bless them, let them know that they're loved. And so we're in Luke 2 this morning. I know it seems we're going backwards. If you're following along at all with us, we were at Luke 17 last week. But for Mother's Day, we're going to look at the life of Anna the prophetess. And she's found in Luke chapter 2. She's one of the first witnesses to Jesus' arrival as the Messiah, as he's an infant. And we have just a few verses on her life, just three verses about her faith and her life. But as we'll see and discover, there's much we can learn from her heart of devotion to God. One of the main resources for the sermon is John MacArthur's book. He has a book called 12 Extraordinary Women. And so if you're looking for some reading material, I always use his book. I pick out one of the ladies in his book as one of the chapters and use that and some of his resources and information from that, as well as some other commentaries. He also has one on men, 12 ordinary men, that God uses that I use for Father's Day. But if you're looking for some reading material, I recommend those books. John MacArthur, 12 Extraordinary Women. So let me pray, and then we're going to start at Luke 2, verse 21. To give us some context, we have to kind of go backwards to when Jesus was born, and Joseph and Mary are bringing Jesus to the temple, and Simeon sees him and makes this wonderful proclamation that the consolation of Israel has arrived in the person of Jesus, and Anna overhears these things, and we end up with these three verses at the end that we'll focus on today that focuses on her life. So let me pray, and we'll read this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you for the time to worship. The last song cut me as we carry many burdens in our lives just simply because we don't take it to you in prayer. And that song is just a sermon in itself. We thank you for the reminders and the glories that we can use to worship you and to praise you and to be renewed in you. And so this morning, Lord, as we look into this text, into the life of Anna, the prophetess, Lord, that you would teach us about her devotion and her life to you, and it would transform us for your glory and for our good. So we pray that you give us ears to hear this morning what you have to say for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 2, we'll start at verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and when it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents had brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So this kind of gives us context and flow into what we'll focus on here in verses 36 to 38. This is what Anna was seeing. This is what she was hearing. as she is introduced to us here in this text. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had advanced in years, and having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word this morning. Billy Graham, he writes about mothers and spiritual mothers and says, "Only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of the character in her children and leading them to Christ. Most of the noble characters and fine leaders of history have had good, God-fearing mothers. The influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. They know and absorb her example, her attitudes, and when it comes to questions of honesty and temperance and kindness and industry, they are watching," he writes. A mother's example, a mother's influence, a mother's prayers, whether you have children of your own or you have the role of a spiritual mother over covenant children, you have powerful influence over the lives of children. Children will watch to see what you're devoted to, what really matters to your heart through the week. They will see who rules your heart as you seek to train them and discipline them in the way they should go. They will watch and listen to your interactions with how you talk to your spouse, with how you talk about others, how you talk to others, and if you are one to be quick to love and forgive and care. Though Anna, in our text, did not have children as far as we know, she was a spiritual mother in the sense of leading others with motherly care into the things of God. She demonstrates for us what a heart of devotion, a heart that's enraptured with God, looks like. And we're asking this morning, what are some things we can learn from these three short verses about Anna's devotion to God? And we'll consider five things this morning, just briefly. The first one is that she desired to know and share God's word. In verse 36, it says she was a prophetess, meaning someone who loved God's word and wanted to make it known to others, to lead them, to guide them into the beautiful truths of God. For Anna, her main ministry would be to help other women know and understand God's word and encourage others in the truths of scriptures as they made their way through the temple courts. In the scriptures, we have a handful of ladies who take on this title, prophetess. And at times they would receive special revelation, but that was not the normative. But their main focus, their main part, the idea of a prophetess like a prophet, didn't focus on receiving special revelation of future revelation, but the main focus was proclaiming and teaching the revelation of God that they had in their hands at the time. As I do as a pastor, I proclaim and try to help people understand what God has said in his word, what he's given us already. I'm not seeking some kind of new revelation, some new information. No, I'm trying to understand what God has said and what it means and how to live it out. In Hebrews 1, it says, "Long ago, at many times, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets and in many ways, but in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." We have a full and complete revelation now, and the goal is to understand it, to call each other to account, to help each other apply it and to grow in it. And that was Anna's main focus as a prophetess, especially helping women to understand God's word and to live it out. For Anna, she understood that mankind does not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Anna understood that the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise It's simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. She desired to know these things and to make these things known in the lives of people she interacted with. She also understood that the law of God was better than 1,000 pieces of silver and gold, as Psalm 119 says. Anna understood that of all the things that she could do in life, all the things that she could teach women and children and others, she wanted to teach just how precious Yahweh is, how he's full of grace and compassion, how he's holy and deals with our enemies, how he's provided atonement for our sins through the sacrificial system, pointing us to Jesus, how she would love to study Old Testament saints like Sarah and Rebecca and Ruth and Naomi and teach them to other ladies she would know. She would study the Psalms and sing the glory of God and the hope in God in the midst of the miseries and lamenting of life. She would study the things of God and make them known to others. So the question for us this morning is, what are we teaching others? What are we teaching our children? Are we taking time to learn the truths of God that we might teach them? Because the world is hard at work teaching them things that are counter to the things of God. They are hard at work in our music. They are hard at work in our TV shows. They are hard at work in our governments. They are hard at work everywhere. And if you are not teaching your children, the world will teach your children of what to believe. Your grandchildren, our covenant children. We must know the word of God and teach our children. God has given us his word as a light for our feet, and if we're not studying it, seeking to apply it and living it out, we'll be walking in the darkness, stumbling over the things of the world and experiencing hard consequences. And we remember we can't change our children's hearts, we can't change others' hearts, but we teach them and point them to the one who can. Our goal is to know God's word and teach others. The second thing we see in Anna, that she didn't allow her family history to impede her service to God. She didn't allow her family history to impede her service to God. It says Anna in our text, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. Just that little phrase gives us some context and clues to her family heritage, her family history. That John MacArthur writes in his book, she has been part of one of the tribes in the northern part of Israel. Asher, he's the offspring of Zilpah, Leah's maid. If you recall, Israel, of the 12 tribes of Israel, came from one man and four ladies, two wives and four handmaidens, two concubines. It's not the most holy way to produce a family line of a nation, right? And so the tribe from Asher belonged to the northern kingdom. And if you remember your Old Testament history, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel split. There's the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. The 10 northern tribes were always just disobedient. Their kings were always sinful. There was always mixing of religion with the mixing that they believed in. And there was all kinds of wickedness and sexual immorality and the mixing of all kinds of worship. And prophets would go and warn them and warn them and warn them. And in 722, God sent the Assyrians to wipe out the northern kingdom. That's from the family heritage that Anna is from. But as her name means, Anna means grace, just like Hannah, she experienced God's grace. And God preserved her. And she made her way down to Jerusalem to dedicate her life to Yahweh. Her family history was marked with all kinds of wickedness, but she experienced the grace and mercy of God. She was delivered, she was rescued and redeemed, and she devoted her life to serving God. She didn't allow her past or her ancestors' past to keep her from serving the Lord. God can take our past miseries and use them for ministries. Whatever the past may be, you've been there, you've walked through it, yet you've experienced the grace and faithfulness of God within it, and he can use that past misery for ministry to encourage others. So we're reminded not to allow our past sins, our past family heritage to keep us from sharing the grace of God. In fact, let it magnify the grace of God. That's what makes grace so amazing. Once lost, but now found. Grace that saved a wretch like me. Satan, the world, would love us to be quiet, to be silent about the grace of God, how he's delivered us from hard past situations. But we're called to share it with our children, to share it with our grandchildren. Let them know the tears, let them know the heartache, and yet God would take us and rescue us and redeem us through it. All because of his grace. Anna, which means grace. Third, we see that she trusted God even when life didn't go as expected. And her text says that she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then she was a widow until she was 84. Anna probably married as a young teenager, as was the custom then. She had dreams and expectations of what life would be like. When we take our wedding vows, we say, till death do us part, but we always think of way down the road when we say that. She would have dreamt of lots of children, raising them with her husband, spending quiet evenings, watching the sunset, walking together, talking together, laughing together on trips to Jerusalem, perhaps for the Passover. But we don't learn of any children, and her husband died after 7 years of marriage. A woman who was widowed at that time would have been greatly concerned for safety, for security, and financial stability. Her world did not turn out how she expected it to be. In the midst of the tears, in the midst of the shock, she would have to make some hard decisions about life and her faith in God. Could she still trust him? Is he still God? Why did he allow this to happen? Where was God in the midst of all this? She could grow weary, bitter, angry, or she could trust in the promises of God through this time. She would have to cling to promises like, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Reminders from Psalm 139 that, God, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of my days before there was one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Perhaps you would read over and over again the story of Ruth and Naomi, who lost their husbands and saw God's grace and faithfulness in the midst of heartache and tears. Anna trusted God even when life didn't go as expected. God will take us down paths we never dreamed of or never imagined, and we will need to trust his promises and his presence through the tears, knowing he's with us and knowing he's for us. We can trust his leading and to tell these stories to our children and to others of God's faithfulness, even when life goes in a different direction than we planned. Fourth, we see that she just longed to worship. She longed to pray and spend time with her God. It says in our text, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Psalm 84 reminds us, psalmist writes, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. How my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for the joy to the living God. Even the sparrows find a home and swallow a nest for herself, that there they may lay her young at the altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in the house, ever singing your praise. The temple at the time represented the near, special, and gracious presence of God, and Anna wanted to be there. She didn't want to be anywhere else. She wanted to be as close as God as possible. She wanted to worship. She wanted to pray. She wanted to pray, and she wanted to pray. She would fast. She would skip meals just so she had more time to pray and fellowship with God. She was a prayer warrior. She would pray for her nation. She would pray for lost souls. She would pray for those she spoke to that day. She would pray for the glory of God to be made known. She would pray for the coming of his salvation through the Messiah. She would keep praying for this promised deliverer and redeemer that Moses and the prophets had spoken about. She longed to worship. She longed to pray. She longed to spend time with God, constantly thirsting for the God who would satisfy. She knew nothing else could. Our children are not meant to be our God. Our spouses are not to be our God. Our work, our talents, they're all good things, all good gifts, but not meant to supplant a God who alone satisfies. Yep. We need to be worshiping, praying, and spending time with our Lord. If you don't, you will be restless, you will be discontent, you will be guilt-ridden, you will be full of anxiety and much more. Anna longed to worship. She longed to pray. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so her heart panted after God. She thirsts after God. As the psalmist says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. And so the hardest challenge, perhaps, we're in different seasons of our lives, whether we have young children or whether we're grandparents, right? There's always things going on in our calendar, always things going on today, tomorrow, the next week. And the challenge is, in the midst of all the stuff that has to be taken care of, can we put the worship of God first, a time of prayer first? And I know it's hard and it's exhausting. And mothers, I'll never completely understand the work and the tiresome work that you do all the time in caring for our children, for our grandchildren, and so much more. But if you can find time to sit at the feet of Jesus, you'll be blessed. And so maybe us as spouses, as men, as a church family, we can come around with those who are just super busy taking care of family and life, and to say, here, take some time, go pray, go worship, go pray and go worship. So some things to try to figure out in our application for our personal lives and for those around us. Sundays are important, but needs to be more than Sundays. And as Anna prayed and prayed for the coming of the Messiah, she got to see him in verse 38. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him, all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She heard everything that Simeon said, and she saw him, and she fell in love with Jesus, and she wanted to tell others about Jesus. Redemption has come. The deliverer is here. The comfort and consolation of God is here in Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, eternal life is here in Jesus. And she would speak of him to others who longed for that redemption. May you know that personal salvation that only Jesus can give. He can only satisfy. He who loves you and will not let you go. He who loves you, who will shepherd you through all life. He who loves you and will take you all the way to glory. May you know the forgiveness and love of Christ, as we sang this morning. Anna began to give thanks to God, to speak of him to all who are waiting for redemption. And the question is, will we speak of him? Will we say the name of Jesus to our children? Will we say the name of Jesus to our grandchildren? Will we say the name of Jesus to our covenant children? Not just generic form God. God is important. But when you're out with loved ones, with grandchildren, with co-workers, let them know how much Jesus satisfies. How Jesus is Lord. How Jesus is Savior. How Jesus is love in the flesh. Tell the story, the old story, as the hymn says. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. There's lots of things we will talk with our children, our grandchildren, our covenant children, and people in general. We'll talk about a lot of things. May they hear from our lips how precious Jesus is. How precious Jesus is. A mother's example, a mother's influence, a mother's prayers, whether you have children of your own or you're in the role of a spiritual mother to our covenant children, you have powerful influence over their lives. They are watching and seeing what you care, how you live, what you're devoted to. May they see and hear about Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, in your wisdom, you wanted to record for us the witness of Anna to the coming of our redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you in these short verses. We learn much for devotion in the midst of such hardship. Lord, we pray that you would guide us in our hearts and our minds with the things that we wrestle with, the things that you have us in right now to show us that we need you. Whether it's the wrestling with the thoughts in our minds or whether it's our bodies breaking down, whether it's the guilt of our sin, let them all draw us by your Spirit to the one who says, I love you, to the one who says, I've come to redeem you, to the one who says, I will forgive you. Just simply turn and trust me, the Lord Jesus says. Lord, I pray that you would bless our mothers, our ladies here. We thank you for their sacrificial love that goes way more than we can ever sense or imagine. We thank you for the gift of children, for covenant children, for grandchildren. Lord, let us remember they are immortal souls who need the Savior. Lord, may our lives, our lips, our professions, our actions, our care promote the gospel of Christ and all we say and do. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.